Lord. Amen, amen, amen. You may have a seat. Praise the Lord. Come on. Man, thank you, bro. Man, it's good to see you, honestly, this morning, 11 o'clock. Thank you for being a part of what God is doing in this church, and you're a part of it, man. Every piece matters. Like, you are a part of this house, and I love that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're supposed to act like it, right? We're supposed to be called to truly love one another. We're supposed to act like brothers and sisters. We're a family, and we're a part of something special. As God Almighty has adopted us, he's brought us in his family. And man, I love the mindset of BC, building strong families and strong relationships. And in that, man, we are so blessed that you are here as brothers and sisters. Man, if you don't know Christ, man, I encourage you, speak to somebody after service and just come into a truth. If you have any questions about Christ or salvation, we love to talk about Jesus, and we love to talk to you about the King of Kings. Hey, we had a great weekend. The men's retreat was this weekend. We blew stuff up. We played euchre. Leonard Obergefell is a 2023 euchre tournament champion. Name on the plaque. So excited for my pops. And it went into overtime. It was a fantastic finish. Euchre went into a whole other game because it was tied. It was crazy, man. It was an awesome, awesome night of bombs, an awesome night of euchre. Great time of worship and word. You get 140 dudes in a room crying out how great is our God. It's something just perfect, man. It's amazing. But we also have heard from the ladies. The ladies are like, can we not do tea parties at our retreats? When do we get to blow stuff up? Like, when do we get to play euchre? When do we get a plaque? Like, the ladies are asking for a retreat where they can just shoot guns and blow stuff up and play games and go to bed at 3 or 4 in the morning. We had people going to bed at 4 a.m. Like, ladies want that up. Breakfast is at 8, by the way. So it's like, we have ladies in the, no, I'm serious. I heard it this morning from a few going, yeah, that sounds great. Like, we do our little tea parties and we have our, like, women's time. Like, we don't have man time. Like, we don't do man, like, they have women time. We don't do man time. We shoot stuff and blow stuff up. And the ladies are asking, can we blow stuff up, please? Like, can we do a tournament with a name on a plaque? Like, can we stay up till 4 a.m.? Like, it could happen. It could happen.
That could happen.
That could happen.
I mean, it could.
Sure shot Renee. She's like Annie Oakley. Pachoo! Boom!
Oh, yeah.
I love it. What do you got for me, baby?
Come
on.
Yes.
You look beautiful, honey.
Well,
what do you got?
Thanks. We're just speaking on wisdom today. Well, you are,
we are.
So James 3:17 says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. And so when we're thinking and praying and asking God for wisdom, we know that we'll have wisdom and that he says that he gives liberally to all who ask. And this wisdom is going to be, first of all, pure. It's going to be peace-loving. It's going to be considerate, submissive, full of mercy, full of good fruit, impartial, and sincere. And just believing God that when you are seeking for wisdom, you want it. The wisdom that you get needs to line up with the word of God. We want heavenly wisdom. When you pray and ask for wisdom, you're asking and seeking God for heavenly wisdom, not the kind of wisdom that comes from the world, right? We don't want earthly wisdom. We want God to bless us with every kind of heavenly wisdom. And so you run to the word and you find out, what does wisdom say about my particular situation, right? If you're praying for your children, you're raising your kids, then you're going to pray and ask God for wisdom. And what does the word say about raising children? Raise them in the way that they should go, right? What is that way? That's the way. Jesus is the way. He's the only way. So you're going to raise your kids. You're going to bring them into church. You're going to bring them into God's house every Sunday because God's word says, raise them in the way that they should go. That is Jesus only. So you need to have your children in church. That is how you lean into God's word and you find out what it says for your particular situation, right? And so God says, ask and I will give it to you. There is no doubt that when you ask for wisdom, you pray for wisdom, God is going to give you heavenly wisdom and it's going to be sincere and it's going to be peace-loving. It's going to bring you peace in your spirit. You'll know that you have peace because you sought the will of God and you sought his wisdom and not the wisdom that comes from the world. Because that is not true wisdom. That is not the truth of words. God, the truth of God's word. We want truth. So we got to be diving into the word of God and finding all of our wisdom here. And so you go to Proverbs. That is the best book to find it, right? A proverb for every day. One a day, 1 through 31. You go to Proverbs and you get the Proverbs for the day and you let that lead your life and you keep on bringing yourself back into alignment with the Word of God. When you get off track, you're going to say, oh no, I'm going to line up my life with what the Word of God says and what that heavenly wisdom is that God gives me.
Amen, girl. Get it. Get it.
Amen.
All right, you pray. Come on.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, that you give us wisdom from on high. We thank you, God, that you fill us with faith so that we can see, Father, what you need us to do. And we thank you, Lord, that you said that whoever overcomes the world, Father, that Lord, we are your sons and daughters, that, God, those who are born of God overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcomes. It is your faith. So, God, we ask for faith today, Lord. We pray for your anointing over the preaching of the Word of God today, Lord, that you will fill Sean with your Spirit, God, that he will give this word in season, Lord, and that all ears will be open to hear it, Father, that you'll open our eyes to see what we need to see, Father, that, God, we will lean in and get the direction that we need. And we just thank you, God, that one day in your house is better than 1,000 elsewhere, Lord. We thank you for wisdom for our children. We thank you for wisdom in our finances, in our homes, and on our jobs. We thank you for finances. We thank you for, God, that you bless us, Lord God, that as people bring all their tithes into the storehouse, that you said that you will bless them. Lord, you'll protect them, Lord God. You will rebuke the devourer for their sake, God. So we just thank you, Lord, that you are the God who gives us joy and peace, Lord God, that we will just be submissive to what your word says, Lord, and that you bring the blessing, Father, because you are good. You are God, and you love us, Lord. You say that we are the apple of your eye. We are your prized possession, Father. So I just pray, God, that people will know, God, that you are for us. You are not against us, Lord. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. It is our faith. Amen. And so we just thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come on, amen. So good. Hey, shout out to the men's retreat from John Sheehan. John Sheehan works so hard in our men's ministry. He oversees the men in this church. And just what an amazing job he does. And his amazing team of volunteers. Honestly, he did something just great. Even this weekend, putting it together for all of us men to go enjoy and have a blast. Can we say thank you to John Sheehan, please? I love it. I love it. I love it. He loves the Lord. He wants men to be warriors and not wimps. And we want people to walk in a way that's that warrior, lion-like mindset of we will not retreat. And he is building a group of men. And men and women, we got to have that mindset of we will not retreat. And that mindset of that warrior lion mindset, right? Come on. Hey, walk with me, James 3. Man, it's been such a great time to be in James. And going through this book and going through this letter from the half-brother of Jesus and just seeing just how this is unfolding and unpacking. We generally don't take one book and just unpack it verse by verse or theme by theme. But we're doing that with James. And I just felt in the beginning of the year that we needed to do this with James. And it has been so fruitful. And I am so grateful that you guys are just soaking this in like sponges, man. You're grabbing this and things are beginning to rearrange in our lives based off of this powerhouse letter and this powerhouse book. On it's a book of action, right? It's faith on display. That's what James really is. And that's the title of this whole series is called Faith on Display. Today, it's an earthly wisdom versus a heavenly wisdom. It is either one or the other. So church, when we begin to, again, clarify, there's really only twos. The scripture is made up of twos, right? There's, you're on two teams. Like you're one or the other. It's either team Jesus or team Satan. Right? Even the Bible in John says you're of your father God or father Satan. Like there's one or the other, right? There's darkness and there's light, right? There's heaven and there's hell. There's right and there's wrong. There's light and there's dark. And when we get this, we understand, man, it really is made up of twos. It's not complicated. It's not confusing. You're either one or the other. You're either of this truth, God's word, or you fall in line with the enemy and his lies. He is the father of lies. He's a deceiver. So when you try to unpack, okay, what really is Christianity? What really is life? Why is it so complicated and confusing? It's really not. It's either one or the other. It's either heaven or hell. It's either Jesus or Satan, right? It's either light or dark. It's either right or wrong. And this it's just really that simple. And it's no different when it comes to wisdom. It's either you're getting advice that's godly, sound, biblical advice, or you're taking the opinions of fools and you're walking in a wisdom that is an ungodly, unhealthy, worldly, fleshly, earthly wisdom. It is one or the other, right? It's one or the other. And man, we get our advice from God's word. We get our advice from the Lord. We get that's where wisdom comes from, right? When you see this, you begin to dive in and say, okay, like where does it even start? Like if I really want, like it sounds like it's big, like wisdom from above, like a heavenly wisdom. That kind of sounds like a tall order. Kind of sounds like a big deal. Well, it is, but there's a start to it, and it comes from having that healthy reverence of God, having that healthy respect of God. And it's by no mistake that we have a huge banner out front of the church that says God's word is truth and opinions don't matter. We live in a culture right now that is very opinion heavy. We live in a culture right now that people think their opinion really matters. Even though it's an ungodly, unhealthy, satanic, demonic opinion, they think their opinion really matters and that they're right. And this is our culture right now. Right? This is our culture right now. They actually think their opinion trumps God's word. People actually think, well, you need to take this is my opinion, and everyone should know it, and everyone should follow my opinion. And yet when you refuse it by the word of the God, man, they get their feathers ruffled. And it's like, hold on. Opinions really don't matter unless they line up with the word of God. I want my opinion to line up with the word of God. When it's not, there's a course correction to say, God, everything has to be filtered through your word. This is the weight that we put on his word. This is the value that we put on his word. God's word is truth. And listen, just from a heavenly view, from an earthly view, you need to be very careful where you're getting your advice from. You need to be very careful who you are allowing to influence you. Are they speaking God's word? Are they speaking God's advice? Are they encouraging you not walk in a way of sin and that leads to death? Are they encouraging you to stand firm on the word when you're making decisions? Like, are these the people that influence you? Are these the people where you're seeking godly advice? First, seek it from the word. And then, man, it's good to go talk to people, godly people. We have several who are certified truly counselors within this church. I encourage people to seek out good counsel and even certified counsel, and that's great. But please, please hear me. There is a huge difference between, watch this now, huge difference between intelligence and wisdom. There's a lot of PhDs that are leading people in a horrible direction by giving horrible advice. Intelligence doesn't equate wisdom. Intelligence doesn't equate wisdom. So when you see the smart and the intelligent and the educated and the PhDs, if they're giving wrong God advice, if they're not even giving God's advice and they're giving worldly advice, just don't put credit to it because they have intelligence. I'm a huge fan of PhDs when it comes to godly counselors who've gone through it to become those who can give true counsel through a certified and through a board and through being registered. I think it's amazing as long as they're giving God's advice. Please make sure that we understand that. Come on, let's look at this. James chapter 3, it says this, verse 13. Come on, look at it with me, please, with care. I want you to see this. It says this, for who among you is wise and understanding? What a question. James already hits this in James 1. We talked about it briefly already in this series. But who among you is wise and understanding? Again, the definition of wise is a skill, God's skill in daily living. I want to know God's advice. I want to skillfully live according to God's advice in my everyday life. That's wisdom. How do I do life today? God way. How do I do life today? God way. Wake up every morning and say, how do I do life today according to God's way? How do I do life today? Man, I've got a big decision. How do I make this decision according to God's way? What would God say about this? What does he say about this? What does he tell us? And he unpacks so much for us in his wisdom. That's daily living according to God's word. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. And then the word understanding here, it means like a professional. Like one who is fine-tuned in his skill. Like if you know a contractor and you know somebody who's really good, like they are sheet a drywall expert. Like when they do drywall, it is flat and clean and amazing, and you don't see seams. And then if I do drywall, you're like, ah, that you should have sanded more. Yeah, but I sanded so much. It was a cloud. Like there's a huge difference from one who is fine-tuned in his skill. And the Bible is saying this. Every one of us can be fine-tuned in our skill when we have an understanding of what wisdom is. Please hear that. Please hear that. We get our advice from God's word. We seek godly counsel. That's good. Seek godly counsel. But it has to be God forward first, right? Come on, look at this. Look what it says. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show it by his good behavior and his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. And I love that. You look at verse 13, and then you look over to verse 17, and those two are connected, and it speaks of a wisdom that is gentle and a wisdom that is from above. And then in between that is this earthly wisdom. So he says this, it was good behavior in his deeds, gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. For this wisdom is not the wisdom that's come down from above, but it's earthly, natural, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder, that's confusion, and every evil thing. But wisdom from above is first pure, and then peaceable, or gentle, and reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. This is that difference, man. Two teams, right? There's two places of wisdom. It's either an earthly wisdom or it's a heavenly wisdom. It's an earthly wisdom or it's a heavenly wisdom. And we got to see, like, where does wisdom come from? Keep your finger in James 3. Turn with me, please, to Job chapter 28. Job chapter 28. I want you to see this because even in Job, Job begins to unpack some things, and he knows exactly where wisdom comes from. Even Job, who's gone through it, even Job, who's been kind of called out by God, and Satan's like, who among them? And God is like, have you considered my servant Job? And then Satan comes to Job, and it's just, his life gets flipped upside down and all kind of things. And then the friends start coming against him and giving him bad advice and giving him bad counsel. And all of a sudden, like Job lands on this in chapter 28, starts in verse 12. So again, we're looking at the wisdom that is from the earth. People who are ungodly, people who are unspiritual, people who are of the flesh, people who are of the world, people who are carnal, people who are secular, compared to heavenly wisdom. And this is what he says, even Old Testament, verse 12. But where can wisdom be found? What a great question. And I think that's where it starts. But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. Here's that earthly wisdom. Here's that earthly wisdom. Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says it's not in me. The sea says it's not with me. Pure gold cannot be given in exchange for it, nor can silver be weighed as its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Orif. And this is the place that has the finest gold. In precious onyx or sapphire, gold or glass cannot equal it. Nor can it be exchanged for the articles of fine gold. Coral and crystal are not to be mentioned. And the acquisition of wisdom is above that of pearls. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it. Nor can it be valued in pure gold. Verse 20 asks the same question. For where then does wisdom come from? Where then does wisdom come from? And where is the place of understanding? Thus it is hidden from the eyes of all living. It is concealed from the birds of the sky. Abaddon and death say, with our ears we have heard a report of it. Right? So it says, okay, where does this come from? Where does that true wisdom, where does that true understanding, where is its foundation for where does it come from? Look at verse 23. God understands its way. And he knows its place, for he looks to the ends of the earth and he sees everything under the heavens. Church, where's our true perspective? I mean, your true perspective on who God really is. When you pray, when you seek, when you worship, when you praise, Your perspective is known if you really believe that God truly is the great I am. God is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. God is and always will be. He has been, he is now, and he always will be. This is God who is the Almighty. This is God who is the I am. This is God who sees everything. This is God who is in control. This is God who understands what it means to say, listen, I've got this. I see it all. I know exactly where you're at. Do we put our hope and our trust when we pray and when we seek and when we worship and when we praise? Is this the proper perspective of who truly God is to you? That is who he is, but is he that to you? Do you know that he is the great I am? Do you find yourself in Job's shoes? So listen, it's God who sees everything under the heavens. He sees it all. God is in control. And church, what happens when you're talking here, Job is speaking of that wisdom that is of the land of the living compared to the wisdom who is God who sees everything. Those in the land of the living get this little spit, man, this little touch of reality of the big picture of everything. We serve a God who knows everything. He knew everything from the foundations of the world. He's got it. He knows everything. God is in control. Which wisdom do you want to follow? The wisdom of man, the wisdom of the earth, the wisdom that is not spiritual, the wisdom that is carnal, or the wisdom that reigns from the one above? Who sees it all? Who sees it all? When he imparted the weight to the wind and meted out of the waters by measure, and he sat and he set a limit for the rain. I love this. He set a limit for the rain and a course for the thunderbolt. Like, again, this is Job's proper perspective of all-powerful, all-knowing God. God sets a limit to the rain. And then God sets on course the thunderbolt. And this would be an amazing lesson for parents to just be able to bring this word forth when there is a true lightning thunderstorm and your small kids are afraid, and you would bring them to the window. Or you would even be able to at times maybe take them outside and just see the mighty hand of God. I love a good thunderstorm. I love a solid lightning bolt that you're like, oh, woo, that hit something. That was a good, not a house or anything, but that like hit ground. And it was just like, wow, that was a good one. Did you see that? That was a, Renee, check it. Like, it's amazing to know God is the one who directs the thunderbolts. God is that God. He's all powerful. He's the one who set a limit to the rain, right? And it's amazing to bring your kids in the counsel of God's word saying, hey, no, nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be afraid of if you're wise in a thunderstorm that you know that, no, that's God's handiwork, man. That's God who can do all things. God is doing that. It's amazing. God set up creation. God set up the thunderstorm. God set up the course of the thunderbolt. This is God Almighty. What an amazing lesson for young kids, your children, to say, oh, no, I got nothing to be afraid of. This is God. Now listen, don't go, earthly wisdom is go, hey, grab a metal rod and go out and play it. Like, that's earthly wisdom. But it's godly wisdom to put fear away, to say, no, this is God's handiwork. Right from Job. And then he says this. Verse 27, and he saw it and he declared it and he established it. He also searched it out. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. The fear of the Lord. Where does wisdom begin? Where does understanding begin? And this is what God himself is speaking to Job, and he says this, and God said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Proverbs 1:7, if you would put that up, please, I want you to see this. Because when you ask a very healthy question, like, where does wisdom come from? Like, what is the foundation? Okay, if James is unpacking an earthly wisdom, a wisdom that comes from the land of the living, a wisdom that comes from man compared to a wisdom that comes from above, where God says, listen, wisdom comes from me. It says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And fools despise wisdom and understanding, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What do fools do? What do fools do? They despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9:10. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Church, when we truly can just let this just sink in our hearts for a minute to say, okay, wisdom, it begins with my proper perspective of a healthy and holy fear of God. A healthy and holy perspective of God. No, God, I walk before you in reverence. I walk before you in a holy, healthy fear of you. I know who you are. I know that you wrote this and that this is truth. I know that your word is truth. And I have this healthy, holy fear of you, this reverence of you, this beautiful respect of who you are as the great I am. And in that, that is the beginning of wisdom. That is the start to where a heavenly wisdom begins, is our proper perspective of our of a holy and a healthy reverence and respect of God. God, you said it. Good. I'm in. I need to follow it. I need to obey it. I need to believe it because you said it. And that's where wisdom begins. That's where that healthy, holy fear of God, that's where wisdom begins. Proverbs 4:7 will be up on the screen. I just want to start in verse 5. It says this, acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will guard you. Love her and she will watch over you. Church, what? How do you value wisdom? Listen, we're making constant decisions. Right? Are we seeking good advice, godly advice? Or are we seeking the advice of friends? Are we seeking the advice of family who are ungodly? Maybe you're godly and you're speaking advice from the ungodly, even though they're family, even though they're friends, even though there might be people that you work with, but they're not godly people. They're not going to give you godly advice. What is it for you to say, no, what is my value of true wisdom? I want a wisdom from heaven, man. I want a godly wisdom. I want to know how to do today according to God's word. Man, my back is against the wall. I need to make a serious decision. Man, I am walking, you know, like that's when we say, God, I need to press into your word. And where I get advice from is vitally important. You get advice from natural, earthly, secular, and you take it, it could lead you in a bad place. It could lead you to a futuristic place that is not healthy for you. Verse 7 says this, the beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. Church, what happens when you take bad advice? Like what happens when you don't understand the authority of God's word and his advice. It's like the person who got pulled over. Cop comes to the window. The person looks to the cop with a big smile on his face and says, sir, listen, my friend, he said I could go 80. The cop would say, your friend gave you bad advice. Because authority says it's 65. And I'm not telling you to go 80. And I'm not telling you to break the law. But if you're doing 65, I'm saying maybe you could go 70. That's all I'm saying. I'm not a friend who said I could speed. I'm just saying move, just stay on the right side so those who know how to drive can pass you. That's all I'm saying, right? But it's like taking your friend's advice when there's no authority to what your friend is saying. Church, we have to understand the authority of God's word. We have to know that true heavenly wisdom starts with a proper perspective of a healthy, holy fear of God. Come on, back to James 3, please. Let's get into the two. Let's break down the earthly wisdom, and then let's get into the heavenly wisdom. And I love this because, again, verse 13, for who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior and his deeds. Again, this whole book is faith on display. This whole book, James writes that we are called to put our faith on display for the world to see. His good behaviors and deeds and the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have a bitter jealousy or selfish ambition in your heart, look at where that comes from. That bitter jealousy or that selfish ambition, a bitter jealousy is defined as that which is boiling over. It stems from a heart that's filled with anger. It stems from a heart that is filled with jealousy to a point of a boiling point. You're boiling, you're constantly just boiling over. You constantly have this bitter, harsh, angry attitude. Like that, that's what that place of that bitter jealousy, that's that you're always in opposition. You're always fighting for position. You have this anger and it just constantly is a boiling over. That's this picture of a bitter jealousy. And look what he says. But if you have a bitter jealousy and a selfish ambition, and this selfish ambition is one who is so self-centered. The selfish ambition is that one that is very much a seeker of self. What they do, what they say, it's for self-attention. What they do, what they say, they may give you advice, but it's that it's something that has to do with them, that they are in the center of that advice. They want that good pat on the back, like, and they do it in a self-centered way. It's self-seeking, right? It's self-seeking. Now watch this, selfish ambition, self-seeking. This looking, watch this. When you are a self-seeker, at times that will just breed strife. That will just breed strife. Again, when you have a bitter jealousy, when you have a selfish ambition, when you have this mindset, watch this, that says, whatever it takes to get ahead. Whatever it takes to get ahead. Don't care who I step on. Don't care what I need to do. Whatever it takes. I'm seeking self. Again, that's this definition of this selfish ambition. This wisdom from those two qualities, this wisdom is not that which comes down from above. But watch the three characters here. It's natural. It's earthly. It's natural. It's demonic. It's earthly. That means worldly. That means that it's secular, that it's worldly, that it's earthly, that it's from those from the land of the living. It's natural, which means that it's in the flesh, it's driven by the flesh, and it's unspiritual. It's not driven from a place of a true supernatural spiritual place of God's word. It's driven from the flesh. Listen, when you're trying to take advice from those who are ungodly, and you're trying to seek a position in God, and you're seeking it from ungodly people, they don't have the goods to give you God's word. It's not natural, right? I mean, it is natural. It's not supernatural. It is of the flesh. It is of the earth. It is from that which is unspiritual. And then, watch this, it's even a place of demonic. Like, man, when you start saying, okay, that advice is from the devil, like, it would be nice. Truly, if you know immediately, you're so in tune that immediately when someone gives you advice, you're able to peg it instantly. Ah, that's from the devil. Why? Because that's what James says is demonic. No, that's dark advice. No, if I take that, that's going to lead me to the pit. No, if I take that counsel, that's going to take me the wrong way. If I take that counsel, that's going to lead me away from light and into darkness. No, if I take that advice, like, what is it to instantly be able to peg? No, that's demonic. No, that's not of God. No, there's nothing to do with light. There's nothing healthy in that. That's God. That is not God's advice. That is not advice from a heav, but that is earthly, that is natural, and that is from the devil. Wouldn't it be nice to peg that instantly? Like something in your spirit, because you're walking truly in the Holy Spirit, that you can peg advice quickly and instantly say, ah, nope, that's bad advice. No, that comes from a world point of view. No, that comes from the ungodly. No, that comes from demonic. No, that comes from devil. No, that's going to lead me to darkness, and it's instant. Church, what happens is parents, come on, moms and dads, that you would raise up your kids in such a way that they would instantly be able to identify, ah, no, that's demonic. Ah, no, that's of the devil. Ah, no, that's just wrong. Ah, no, that is from a selfish ambition. No, that is from a bitter jealousy. No, that is not of, like, wouldn't it be amazing that you raise your kids up and you are sound and you are secure in your raising them up, that you are confident that they will be able to do that. That's a great place to be as a parent. That you have rose your kids up. You've taught your kids in such a way that they truly understand God's advice, Satan's advice. God's advice that's heavenly, Satan's advice that's earthly. And you are secure in your spirit because you know, no, they can identify quickly. They can identify quickly. No, that's bad advice. No, that is not a godly wisdom. No, that is a demonic devil talk. No, that is the way that the devil would teach me to go. That is not a God thing. Church, this is where James is like, there's only two teams. There's only two ways. A wisdom that is from the earth. A wisdom that is fleshly, carnal. A wisdom that is unspiritual. And a wisdom that's from the devil. A wisdom that leads to darkness. Or that you and me would know the other side of this. You and I would get this, because you see in verse 16 where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there's disorder in every evil thing. Disorder means confusion. Things are just out of order. Things are not the way they're supposed to be. It breeds confusion. 1 Corinthians 14 tells us that confusion is not from God. When you have people today that are just so confused, they're going to say, well, that's not from God. So that's what happens when you can look at this and you say, listen, it's not complicated. There's two ways wisdom goes. It's either earthly, demonic, or it's heavenly and healthy. It comes from this healthy relationship and this healthy fear of God that, no, God said it. I need to find it in here. I need to find good godly counsel. I need to find good godly wisdom. I need to find people who are going to influence me in the right direction. I need to find people who will bring that shepherd hooks in and wrap it around you and say, not so fast, man, you're in the wrong direction. Not so fast, man, you're heading the wrong way. Not so fast, man, that's not the good decision. Hey, man, what are you thinking? Where are you going with that one? Bring it in. Like, you want people who are not going to push you. Watch this, please. You don't want people in your life that are going to push you in the wrong direction and cheer you on when you're walking towards a bridge that's out. That's demonic. That's that earthly wisdom. Man, you want God-fearing people who are able to come to you and say, no, not so fast. What are you doing? Hey, bring it back in. Hey, I need you to come over here. We need to have a conversation. How about some coffee? Like, you need that. That's godly counsel. And look at the difference here. Verse 17, Renee read it, and it's just, I love that it just brings some clarity. It says, but wisdom from above. There's two. The earthly wisdom, man, that's truly from the flesh. It's not spiritual. It's demonic. You follow that, eventually the bridge is out. You follow that, eventually you look to being in a really rough place. And the advice you take today, please hear me. The advice you take today when you're asking, and if you follow that advice, it will lead you to where you're going to be tomorrow. It may not develop in 24 hours, but it's going to lead you to where you're going to be. If you're at a place where you truly need to seek, and you're at a place where you're trying to make true questions within your life, and you seek and earthly wisdom, and you follow that, that's going to lead you somewhere. If you take a godly wisdom and you follow that, that as well is going to lead you somewhere. Please, Believer's Chapel, be very careful on where you get your advice from. Be very careful on who you take advice from, that they would take it from a godly position, because you're around people that truly have a healthy reverence and a fear of God. Are you around those people? Is that where you seek your counsel from, somebody who truly has a fear of God, and it shows up in their lifestyle? It shows up in their words. It shows up in their actions. That they're walking in this reverent, beautiful place of this healthy, holy fear of God. God's word is truth. Do they believe that? Or do you take it from a place of opinion? Because sometimes our flesh, we seek opinions of those. We seek counsel of those. They're going to feed the flesh. No, I went to counseling and they said I could do this. And that's where your flesh wanted to go when you found the right counselor that you knew was going to push you in that direction. That's not healthy. You don't have a true, healthy reverence of God. You got to be very careful that your heart doesn't become hungry for flesh, and then you take the opinion of the flesh and you think it's good advice because it fulfills your flesh. Be careful. Be careful. Watch this. We got a couple minutes. And it says this, but the wisdom from above is first pure. I love that. When you're looking at getting wisdom, a godly wisdom, it's pure. It's undefiled. There's no contaminants in it. There's no self in it. There's no self-gain in it. The person who's giving the wisdom, there's no ulterior motive to it. It's pure. It's undefiled. There's no contaminants in God's wisdom. There's no self in that. Meaning the person who's trying to give that advice. It doesn't come from a selfish ambition. It's the opposite of that. I've got no gain in giving you this. I'm not here on a self-gain position to give you advice. It's pure. It's undefiled. It's without stain. That's what this means. It's also peaceable. And I love when you understand peaceable. That means it's without conflict. It's without strife. It's a wisdom that is brought to bring peace. It's a wisdom, and it means a godly peace. Not a fleshly satisfaction. No, I'm living in this sinful lifestyle and I got peace about it. Good luck with that. That's not going to go well for you. No, I'm talking about a true God-fearing reverence and a God-fearing peace that, no, I have a peace. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. His word is within me, and man, I have a peace, and there is this rest within me. I am not in conflict within my soul. Isn't it amazing? I don't have too much time for this, but isn't it amazing that even as a believer, that the Holy Spirit will bring conviction and the Holy Spirit will bring conflict to your spirit when you're about to make a wrong decision, when you're about to make that sinful decision, and there will be something within your spirit, there will be something within your soul, and there's this angst, and you know, like, I know this isn't right, I know that I'm making a wrong decision, and you just ignore that, and you ignore that, and you ignore that, but yet there's this conflict, and yet you know you don't have peace, then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit says, fine, I've done my part. I brought that conflict to your spirit because you're making a wrong decision. And eventually when you keep stiff-arming that, there's a hardness of heart. And you find yourself saying, well, no, I'm at peace now. No, you were fighting. No, the Spirit was after you and you were fighting and the Holy Spirit was moving in you and you were fighting it and you were fighting it and you were fighting it until all of a sudden he's like, release. Because you got a hard heart and then you think that that's peace. That's a false peace. Watch this. First pure, then peaceable, and then gentle. I mean, how do you define gentle? It's the opposite of gentle is being harsh. Gentle means to be tender. And listen, we got to understand something, though. Please don't. Again, we're building warriors here and not wimps. Like, we are called to be gentle, and we're called to gentleness, a gentleness of wisdom. We see that in verse 12, a gentleness of wisdom. But please hear me, there's a difference between harsh compared to being direct. We take our cues from Jesus. If you're harsh and if you're angry, then that's the opposite of gentle. But don't misplace that, for at times, there's times that you have to be direct. Jesus was very direct. Hey, get behind me, Satan. Some would say, oh, now that's Jesus. That's a little harsh. You hurt Peter's feelings. Jesus, I know you're flipping tables. Jesus, that's a little harsh. When Jesus looked at the hypocrites and said, you're a hypocrite. You brought a vipers, whitewashed tombs. You guys are liars. Now, Jesus, we've talked about this. No, church, there's a point and there is a time to be very direct. There's a point and there's a time to be even aggressively direct. Now, listen, we're not called to be harsh. We're not called to be angry. But there are times in the wisdom of God, we're called to be direct. When you deal with the issues of this day, when you deal with the abortion issue, you better be direct on that. When you deal with gender, you better be direct on that. They're violating children. You better be direct on that. You better have a position on that. That is not, oh, now listen. It's okay. No, when there was sin involved, Jesus became very direct. And Jesus brought out that shepherd hook. And he will be very direct by his spirit within us. And bring that shepherd hook in and bring it to and bring it back. Very direct. So please don't misunderstand what James is saying here. We are called to be tender and we're called to be gentle, but don't misunderstand that for fluffy and wimpy. Don't misunderstand that for just being the flower on the wall. Because even in wisdom, there's at times a fight to godly wisdom. At times there is a stance to godly wisdom. At times there's this stability to God's wisdom. At times, as Jesus was very direct, there's a time to be very direct. When you are fighting as a parent for your children and you know the enemy is coming around the corner and you know there's bad influence starting to creep in, man, where is it to you to be direct and not all fluffy and not all just gentle, but very direct, but yet gentle, not being harsh, but being very direct, saying, come on, no, listen, this is what God's word says. You get out your shepherd, you're like, listen, son, daughter, there's times that you need to be direct. And don't misunderstand this. Please hear me. Don't misunderstand gentle as being soft and easy. That's not what this means. Please hear that. And then reasonable, that means just teachable. We're called to be teachable, full of mercy, that's compassion and forgiveness. Like wisdom from a God, from above understands what it means to forgive. Because we have been forgiven so much, we understand what it means to forgive. It means compassion. It means pity. It means mercy. And good fruits. We've talked about good works. We've talked about good fruits. Unwavering without hypocrisy. Unwavering, it means to be steadfast and immovable. Unwavering means we function with this consistency. Our advice isn't up and down. Now it's godly, now it's earthly, now it's godly. No, there's this consistency. If you come to God's advice, it's consistent advice. It's consistent wisdom. It's always pointing towards the Word of God. It's always pointing to that which is holy. It's always pointing to that which is healthy in the Word of God. It's always pointing to the fear and reverence of God. That is consistency. That's unwavering. That is without doubt. That's what that means. That's a godly wisdom. That's consistent. And it's always consistent in truth. It's always consistent in truth. And it's without hypocrisy. And hypocrisy is just simple. It just is that who hides behind a mask. It's a masquerade party. That's what hypocrisy literally means. It means to hide behind a mask. It means it's not really the real you. Jesus hit hypocrites' heart, man. He went right after the Pharisees and the scribes. He went after those who honored him with his lips, but their hearts are far from him. You do this all for the show. You do this all to be in front of people. You do this all to get all the accolades of people. And Jesus called them out. Jesus called them out. He said, a wisdom from above is transparent. A wisdom from above is without hypocrisy. And then watch this. We close with this. And the seed of whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Sown in peace by those who make peace. Come on, let's stand to our feet, please. We're just going to close. If anybody needs prayer for any reason. Man, you want to talk more about Jesus? We love to talk about Jesus. As Melissa sings today, man, I just want to invite you to the front. You want to hear more about Jesus? Let's talk Jesus. You want to hear more about even direction and you want to be prayed over? We would love to join with you and agree with you and pray over you today. But come on, just bow your heads as we close out and as we sing. And just, come on, where are you in this today? Like truly, where are you in this today? And James is like, listen, there's only two, man. It's either a godly wisdom, a wisdom from above, or it's an earthly, unspiritual wisdom from the devil himself. That's demonic. If you take either one, it's going to lead you somewhere. Be careful who your influencers are. Be careful who you get your advice from. Make sure they walk in a fear of God and a true reverence of him, and give you word, and give you not their opinion, but give you word, and let God direct you. Come on, Father, we love you. We thank you for your word today. Speak to us in such a way, God, that we hear from you. God, let this seed sit within our spirits today, God. Let it sit right in our hearts, and let it bear great fruit. In Jesus' name, come on, amen.